So what we're going to look at this morning is that combination of scripture and prayer. This follows on from the meeting place a few weeks ago where we had prayer stations that were all based on Psalm 103. You see, dear friends, when preparing prayer activities or praying with others or praying in difficult situations, so often a passage from the Bible has come to mind to support prayer going forwards. When reading God's word, I'm often compelled to pray. I can pray out verses from the Bible, but the Bible also contains some amazing prayers. Thanks. So what I'm going to do this morning is use a picture to help me explain this combination. So first of all, we have scripture and prayer that appear in the soil. In Paul's second letter to Timothy, he says that all scripture is God-breathed. So God's breath is also in the soil, because this speaks to me of a process by which something comes into being. And we know that Jesus is often called the Word. In the Gospel of John, it talks about Jesus, the Word, who became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. So Jesus is often referred to in the Bible as the Word who then was born and became a human person. But not only this, the amazing thing about Jesus is that a lot of the Old Testament scripture, he fulfilled, he absolutely lived it out in his life. A wonderful example of this is Isaiah 53, and I'm going to just read a few verses of it to you from the Message translation. Who would have thought that God's saving power would look like this? The servant grew up before God, a scrawny seedling, a scrubby plant in a parched field. There was nothing attractive about him, nothing to cause us a second look. He was looked down on and passed over, a man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. One look at him and people turned away. We looked down on him and thought he was scum. But the fact is, it was our pains he carried, our disfigurements, all the things wrong with us. We thought he brought it on himself, that it was God punishing from his own failures. But it was our sins that did that to him, that ripped and tore and crushed him. He took the punishment, and that made us whole. Through his bruises, we get healed. We're all like sheep who've wandered off and gotten lost. We've all done our own thing, gone our own way, and God has piled all our sins, everything we've done wrong, on him. Jesus also taught and showed us how to pray. He gave us the Lord's Prayer, and the Lord's Prayer is also in the soil. Jesus' prayer life reflected his relationship with his Father. He prayed continually to him. It was absolutely pivotal in bringing in the kingdom of God. He prayed for his disciples. He even prayed words of forgiveness from the cross. You see, dear friends, I believe that Jesus' life is the greatest example of how scripture and prayer combine. So that's why the next part of the picture is a plant stem made up of Jesus' own words, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And this will underpin all the practical illustrations I'm going to provide of how scripture and prayer combine. So the next part of the picture is leaves. And on these leaves, we've got prompts that's going to help me give some practical illustrations. The top two leaves say assurance and affirmation. When we pray for healing, we pray words of affirmation, proclaiming God's kingdom, thanking Jesus for the finished work of the cross. We also pray out great scriptural truths. And a scriptural truth that always comforts me is the fact that when Jesus was on this earth, he never turned anyone away who came to him for prayer. And this approach to praying that's founded on scripture, it can raise our faith expectancy. Anybody who's participated in the Freedom in Christ course, we pray out and speak out words from scripture of security, significance, and acceptance, absolutely affirming who we are in Christ. My favorite one is, I've been chosen and appointed to bear fruit, fruit that will last. And you don't know, I can't really get across to you what a wonderful verse that is for me to pray out when my worry gene, that inbuilt worry gene I have, starts to kick in because I've got this terrible driver that I have to get everything right. So praying out and remembering who I am in Christ and what God has called me to do. There's also another verse that says, a good tree can only bear good fruit. That helps me tremendously. Liam, fantastic choice of songs this morning. And bless the Lord, O my soul. Andy and I were watching television a few years ago now, and there's one of these medical programs on. And there was a man who was going in for really quite complicated brain surgery for what they thought was a benign tumor. And you saw a picture of him in the operating theater. And what has to happen in some of this surgery is the surgeon has to wake the person up when they're operating on a particular bit of the brain and ask them to speak to make sure that they're not damaging the bit of the brain that controls the speech function. The most incredible thing was that when they asked him to speak out something, he started singing, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And Andy and I were utterly amazed that this man, the Holy Spirit, had brought that. So not only was he bringing a scripture, he was using it as prayer. And I'm sure that was wonderful words of assurance for him as he was undergoing that procedure. Quite often when we pray over people in prayer ministry, as well as praying with them, quite often the person who's praying gets a word of assurance. And that's fantastic because it quite often means that we have verses of scripture that we can hold on to afterwards. We feel assured that our Heavenly Father understands what's happening to us. And I think this is captured beautifully in Psalm 119 when the psalmist says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Because we then have hope, present, future hope going forwards. I remember praying with somebody who was sharing a story, and I got a verse from 1 John 1, verse 2, "For it was life which appeared before us, we saw it, we are witnesses of it." And that was a tremendous affirming verse for the person to be assured that what they were saying was absolutely real. Sometimes we have prayers that contain words of scripture. And many of these may absolutely have words of scripture accompanying them. And there's a special type of prayer that we often pray in Freedom in Christ after completing the steps to freedom called a stronghold buster. Now, the great thing about this is we do it after the time in that program where we've done the steps to freedom. It's a wonderful, gentle exercise, the steps to freedom. It's assuring, affirming, and it's a process of seeking forgiveness and forgiving others. And you know, in the letter to James, James tells us that the prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective. But there's a key thing here, folks, because God is incredibly gracious. So I've also developed and prayed and stood in agreement in prayer and created a stronghold buster far removed, months away from doing steps to freedom. And here's an example of one that's tremendously assuring to me. And what we're doing in this process, we're actually renouncing lies and accepting the truth. Dear Lord, because of your great love, we are not consumed. Your compassion never fails us. We know that our Redeemer lives and walked upon the earth. We renounce the lie that we have to take full responsibility for everything that happens to those we love. We accept the truth that your blood speaks a better word than any spoken by man. Because if God is for us, who can be against us? Fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit as we look to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. It is by his wounds that we are healed, his blood that we are made whole. In Jesus' name, amen. And the great thing is we can pray that every day for 40 days. But one thing I want to make absolutely clear is that, you know, it's not a formulaic process. It's not just when you're praying that you have to use a specific method in a specific structured way. I was really privileged to hear Mike Endicott talk to us. He's a Church of England priest who has a healing ministry, and a group of us in this church went to East Lothian to hear him talk. And one of the things he said, which I think captures this beautifully, is, I hate methods. I'm talking about relationship with God. If we proclaim the kingdom of God, we will be giving glory to the Father through the Son. And that captures beautifully what we're doing using some of these approaches. So I'm going to move to the next two leaves down now, which is relationship and revelation. The Father's love has been revealed to us through Jesus. He says he is the way to the Father, and we have a wonderful living relationship with the Father because of Jesus. And in relation to prayer, there's a wonderful story in the Alpha Course that I absolutely love, and it explains this and describes this concept beautifully. And this is set in the Civil War years, and there's a soldier who's had really traumatic experiences and is being granted an audience with the President of the United States at the White House. And he comes to the White House and he's turned away at the door and is really dispirited and discouraged. And he goes out to the park near the White House and he meets a child. And he finds himself pouring out everything that happened to him to this child. And before he knows it, the child is taking him into the White House, and everybody knows him. And that child is the President's son. And he goes into the Oval Office and says, "This soldier has to talk to you, Father." And he gives that soldier the opportunity to talk to the President about what he's been through. And that, for me, captures beautifully the access we have to our Father. But not only that, how much our Father loves us. And an example of a prayer where we use scripture that we can pray over people is blessings prayers. I first heard about this approach and saw it at a Healings Rooms conference when the deeper healing process was being explained. Because you see, dear friends, in some situations, people may first need to be set free or reassured or healed from any blocks that get in the way of them experiencing the Father's love. And that really is a result of who their own fathers potentially may have been to them or their own life experiences. my own experience of using a blessings prayer is that people are often deeply moved when this prayer is prayed. And I think this links beautifully to what Paul tells us in Romans when he says that God is continually searching our hearts and the Holy Spirit is interceding on our behalf. And we may not have words in response. There may just be groans or utterances. And Jesus is up there in heaven interceding as well. And Psalm 139 for me captures this wonderful language of love about our Heavenly Father. You may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. You are not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb. My thoughts towards you are as countless as the seashore. The prayer stations based on Psalm 103 also were to enable us to make that connection with our Heavenly Father. And what we did, we had crowns. And we talked about how, you know, usually a very important person has to wear a crown, like the Queen. But there's a wonderful verse in Psalm 103 that when we're in utter despair and we cry out to God, he says that he has redeemed our life from the pit. It talks about his unfailing love and tender mercies. So I want to encourage you that when we go through really difficult times, because Jesus has made a way, then we can pray out words of assurance like this that enable us to understand the Father's love for us. We're able to love because he loved us first. And that's why, and thank you to everybody who had the idea of the favor boxes. Thank you to everybody who made them up for me, because what we did at the fun day this year, we had favor boxes and we had red hearts and we had a red Maltesers celebration sweetie, and I think the youth had the leftovers. And each of them had a blessings verse, because verses of blessings are really wonderful to give out to people who come. So the next two leaves are in Christ, or Christ in us, and the Holy Spirit. The union with Christ is described beautifully in the passage of Scripture where Jesus says that he is the true vine. Jesus says, remain in me and I will remain in you. The amazing thing here is that was a radical concept. Before, God's presence had always been in the temple. But Jesus was saying that he can remain and live in us, not in the temple. It links back to what Alan was saying about a new norm when he was discussing the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus turned things wonderfully upside down. We looked at this passage on Thursday in our freestyle Bible study accompanied by prayer. And I just want to read out a quote to you from a handbook on prayer by Morse, because she explains beautifully some of the benefits of using this approach. So bringing our questions and biblical passages to Jesus in prayer helps us to pay attention to what Jesus is doing in our world and not what we think he's doing. This means in prayer we are constantly seeking to understand and know the heart and mind of Christ. When we stop seeking insight and guidance from Christ, we begin to shape our own social order and our own perception of how things work. So this passage on the true vine provided a wonderful focus for us to pray and ask to see Jesus as he sees us, to love as he loves us. And the most amazing thing is that through reading the Bible, we can actually, in praying the scriptures, we can express that love in a real way. I was at one of the areas where I work, and I'd been reading through in the summer the Gospel of Mark. And one of the things that really struck me was when Jesus said he noticed, Jesus noticed the man with the withered arm who was in the temple on the Sabbath in the synagogue. Now, Jesus healed him at great cost because that gave the Pharisees ammunition going forwards. But Jesus noticed. And I was praying a very short prayer, because quite often when we read scripture, it's a very short prayer. Jesus, help me notice. And I noticed this lady very early in the morning, crouched, smoking and crying. And I went back and just crouched with her. And the key thing was, our prayers don't need to be eloquent. I didn't even get to the point of praying alongside, but I was able to lift her up. And she was able to tell me what was going on. But my words were incredibly clunky. I think I came out with a squeak and said, are you okay? But, you know, Paul in his first letter to the Corinthians really puts this in a nutshell. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. And the great news that I want to encourage you with, and it talks about this in John 14, just before the passage on the vine, Jesus says he will send the Holy Spirit as our advocate to be there to remind us of everything that Jesus tells us. Because Jesus makes an astounding promise at the end of the passage on the vine. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it may be granted. So final leaves at the bottom of the plant are creative and active. And this really links to intercessory prayer. And it really links to what I was talking about with the children this morning, where quite often when you're preparing prayer activities, a word of scripture comes to mind to help us with that. And I just wanted to go back to the example I gave about the fish. And when we wrote just a one alphabetical letter to give in relation to people that we really wanted to begin to know Jesus. And the key thing here is, and thank you to the notes on the 24/7 prayer course, because it tells us that D.L. Moody carried a list of 100 names of people for whom he prayed. Whenever one of them became a Christian, Moody would cross their names off his list. By the time of his death, 96 of those 100 had become followers of Jesus, and the remaining 4 gave their lives to Christ at his funeral. And you know, Tom Wright talks about prayer and how it's a bit like a woodcutter and a tree. So we may be praying and have prayed a long, long time for people we know, and we're desperate for them to see Jesus. But actually, he says, like each cut from the axe weakens the tree and eventually it falls. So really want to encourage you to persevere going forwards. And another important point here is because we were participating a few weeks ago in a structured form of prayer, and it was the Lord's Prayer. And what we were doing was praying into each individual bit of the Lord's Prayer. But I noticed someone was looking a bit distracted, and you know, we still need to be aware of the promptings of the Holy Spirit, because this dear friend in Christ was overcome by a need to pray for children trapped in a school in the Mexican earthquake, overcome by a burden of intercession for them. So we stopped what we were doing at that point and stopped to respond in prayer. I just want to mention one final very creative format to support us going forwards in intercessory prayer, which is the prayer cell format. So what happens here is there's preparation whereby the 2 or 3 people participating in the prayer cell, speak out or carry out specific actions based on scripture. So they begin by focusing on the Lord in song and praise. That's from Psalm 138. They confess, so that's Psalm 66, asking the Holy Spirit to reveal any area that's displeasing, asking the Holy Spirit to anoint them, submitting their own ideas, resisting the enemy, as it says in James, asking for the fear of the Lord, which overrides the fear of each other, and then relaxing and spending a few minutes listening to what the Holy Spirit reveals. My own experience of participating in this is that the Holy Spirit is incredibly creative. So sometimes it may be a picture, sometimes it may be, it absolutely may be a word of scripture. So again, we've got the Holy Spirit to support and help us, and I'm constantly amazed and in awe of how creative our Father God is. I told you that was the last example. I've got one final one before I sum up. And this is crafted prayer. And we've done this a few times in prayer stations, but crafted prayer, often prompted by a word of scripture. And in this example, it was the word of scripture that I talked about at the beginning from Isaiah about the suffering servant. We did this at the Lent prayer stations in Easter 2016. And what we asked was, we asked the people for what the cross meant for them. And again, thank you, Liam, spot on with the song about the cross. Because the Holy Spirit then helped release phrases or words from everybody who was there, that we were able then to create a prayer that we could pray going forwards. And this is what the prayer looked like. Dear Father, thank you that everything is taken care of for everyone, as burdens are lifted and taken on by Jesus, the suffering servant. His life poured out for us as an offering, a selfless act bringing freedom, release, reconciliation, and recreation because of the forgiveness of Jesus. We will be obedient and triumphant as we are made new, taking up the cross from a place of victory because of what he's achieved. We are pressing in for words that have been promised. Waiting on you is not passive, but our faith in action. For freedom in Christ, healing for people who've not yet received it, believing for revival in Midlothian, for the inbreaking of the Holy Spirit, strength and guidance for our leaders of our young people. We choose to believe and see the fruit of Good Friday, that burdens may fall off and people set free, to experience his presence, getting rid of our inhibitions, and an uncontainable outbreak of joy. Isn't that amazing? How God can use us and give words that, when put together, form the most amazing prayer that we can then pray out. So how do we respond? I would really encourage you, this is not a sermon to say you must read the Bible, you must pray. But what I would say is, as we engage in scripture and prayer, we can become open to receive and we can grow in faith expectancy. And this is the crowning moment in the picture. Thank you so much, Andrew. This is our flower head. So the flower head, faith and hope, are in the outer rim, but in the center is love. You see, dear friends, we can never underestimate the impact of those little acts of kindness that is our love in action. We live in a world that's crying out for us to notice and respond to them. The wonderful thing is that as we engage in scripture and prayer, this can also enable us to grow in our relationship with our Heavenly Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And I don't know about you, but that for me is what the abundant life that Jesus promises is all about. It's my greatest hope for you all this morning that you'll be able to experience that for yourselves. And to finish, I would just like to pray over you Paul's magnificent prayer from Ephesians. So if you could just close your eyes, and I'm going to pray this prayer over us all. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.